Okay, today's daf is Ksubis, daf Pei Gimel, as we start the ninth parak here in Maseches Ksubis, as our journey continues, heading towards the 13th parak, 13th prakim here in Maseches Ksubis, and we are today starting the ninth parak HaKosev. Parak HaKosev continues our discussions of the rights and privileges of the husband and the wife, and the parak starts off with the possibility of the husband being mochel and being mevater some of his privileges that he has. So akosev leishto, if somebody writes to his wife as follows, akosev leishto, din udvarim ein li benachasayich, I don't have any claim. Din udvarim, that's just like a phrase. Something and words, I don't have any claim in your property. What is he alluding to? So Rashi points out that there are three elements that he might be referring to. Rashi doesn't say this here, but if you turn the page, Amid Beis, Rashi says that on the fifth or sixth skinny line or so, Rashi says, V'kan abal baba takanes chachamim al nichsei ishto b'shlosha dvarim. Right, Rashi says about the fifth skinny line, that the fifth, Rashi, the Baal has in his wife's possessions three rights. Number one, lachol peros. Number one, peros, meaning we're talking about nechse malug. So properties that she brings into the marriage that are not recorded in the ksuba. So he gets to eat peros. She has the guf. He gets to eat peros. Number one, two, valirash, and he yarshins her. Baal yore says ishto. Tomorrow's daf el Hashem will be, is that the rice? Is that the rabbanon? And v'im timkar mechra batel. And if she sells it, while she's alive and he's alive, so then the mechar is batel. So that relates to the takanas usha that we have touched on, that isha shemocheres, but echsimalog ba mosi b'ad alakuchos. So those are the three rights that could be under discussion here. Again, his present rights to eat the peros, his rights if she dies to get the Yerusha, and her ability to sell it and his veto power during this lifetime. So as we'll see, we're not 100% sure in some of the cases what she's referring to, what he is referring to, but some of the cases we are. So here, if you use the lashon of, I don't have any claim. Dinu dvarim ein li benachasayach, hareza ochal peres bechayah, he could eat fruit in her lifetime, meaning he's not being mevater on that right. Ve'imesa yarsha, and if she dies, he yarshins her. So the Mishnah asks, so what did he say that for? Im kein lama kasav la dinu dvarim ein li benachasayach, says the Mishnah, only for number three. He only gave up the ability to veto if she sells it. That's what he means by this, the most minimal interpretation, as we will see. If he says a little more expanded lashon, I don't have any rights. Meaning, what is this lashon saying? If there's ever an issue that comes up, I am today saying that, you know, I'm not going to argue about it, right? It kind of sounds like a little bit like Kol Nidre that we do. Anything that we're going to do in the future, right? Machlokas Rishonim, we'll have this Benjamin Nedarim this summer, right? The discussion of how can you prevent Nedarim from taking place before they occur. We know there's a concept called Hataras Nedarim and Afaras Nedarim, but that's once they exist. Is there a way to say, well, if I'm getting Nedarim next year, you know, they're batel and mevutel from today? So do you have that power? They don't exist yet. So here, you're also trying to prevent something from occurring. So again, case number two is, Kasavla, dinu dvarim ein li b'nechasayach uve perosehen. I don't have any rights in your properties and in their peros. Hare zeh ein ochel peros b'chayeha. So then we say, yes, he has also removed this right. He cannot eat any fruit during her lifetime, any of the peros. There's a machlokas we showed him here, whether she could even sell, whether she is, are they mutually exclusive, these rights, or is it building on each other? The Rashi here says she could even sell them, but the Beis Yosef is not so sure. The Imesa Yarsha, and if she dies, so then he is still Yorisher. So meaning it doesn't include all three. It might include Peros, maybe it includes the veto power, as we just said, but in terms of the Risha, it does not include that case. And Rabbi Yehuda argues in this case, no, la'olam ochal peire peros, he could only always eat the fruit of the fruit, the peire peros, achi yichtov la, until he writes the inclusive lashon, dinu dvarim ein li b'nechasayach, uve peros sayin, at Olam. And we'll talk about that Lashon, Bez Hashem, on Amud Beis. That is Rabbi Yehuda. You have to have a more inclusive Lashon. If you just say Nechasayach of a Peruseyan, there is a limited limit of the husband. But he does have Peruseyan, as we'll talk about. I saw the a drush from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, that the yachas between the guf and the neshama is compared to a husband and a wife. And therefore, when the husband tells the wife that he wants no benefit from her assets, it's like the neshama telling the guf that he's not interested in any schar, any payrus right now. And it's willing to perform the mitzvahs just to give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with no thought of payrus right now. But still, what's the halacha? The mesa yarsha. Meaning, la'achar misa, the still, la'asilavo, you know, it's gonna come up. That's quoted in the Mayana Shel Mishnah. And that is the Agadic section for today's year. Okay, so that is number two. So we have case number one that affects the ability of the wife to sell. Case number two that affects the husband's present ability to eat peiros, but neither of them affect the Yerusha. And now we get to case number three. If in your life or in your death, then eino ochal peiros b'chayeha v'meisa eino yarsha. That most inclusive lashon includes all three, even the third, even after, because he says b'feirish, even after you shall die, I'm not going to have any claim to it. So other yarshim get it. He does not. Yarshin says, "Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, no way. It may say Yerushena. He does not have the right to do that. If she dies, he's still Yarshin, sir. Why? Because he's making a tnai against something that it says in the Torah, as we discussed earlier. And anybody who makes a tnai against something that it says in the Torah, it's no batal. So pashas, it sounds like the machlokas tanoim is whether Baal Yorish is Ishto is a din d'araisa or a din d'rabanan. Right? So we'll have to see whether that's true or not." Right, we've said earlier that it could be that, ironically, you might say just the opposite. Right, we had earlier back in the Nuns that if you say it's Drabbanan, Drabbanan also Chizek, Dinim Drabbanan, Yoser Mishal Torah, we had that principle. So we'll have to see exactly what the Svaras are for this Machlokas. A couple of points on this issue. First is the general point regarding Yerusha. Right, when we talk about the mitzvah of Yerusha, who exactly is the mitzvah on? Mitzvah of Yerusha. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs, right? Mitzvah and Parshas Pinchas. What exactly is the, who is the one that is chayiv in Yerusha? If you look in the Rambam, this one is, you don't have to turn the pages back and forth to figure out which mitzvah zaseh this is. The Rambam has mitzvah number 248. There's only 248 mitzvahs zaseh. 248 is the mitzvah of Yerusha of Nachla. Interesting if the Rambam did that on purpose. He obviously did. You know, the last mitzvah is Yerusha, is Nachala, right? It's the last one before one dies, or maybe after one dies, right? It could be one of the only mitzvahs that one could only perform after they die, right? That's the, or maybe it's a bitul aseh. You just have to make sure it's not prevented before one dies. But in pashtus, it's performed when somebody dies, they fulfill this mitzvah. There might be one or two other mitzvahs like that. I think we discussed puruvu, because the mitzvah of puruvu is really if somebody has a boy and a girl, and they produce a boy and a girl, without getting into the details, and a person dies in that state, and his children, Rahman al-Islam, don't predecease him. Could be that ruins the mitzvah, so to speak. But this is the mitzvah, last mitzvah, 248. The Rambam says, Shehorunu b'dinei nachlos. We are taught about the dinim of nachlos. V'hu amro yisaleh, ish ki amus ubeinein lo. What impression do you get from the Rambam? Is the mitzvah on each person, or is the mitzvah upon Bezdin? Bezdin has to make sure that the nachla is given out, kedasu kedin. Who is the mitzvah? The Rambam says, Horunu, we are taught b'dinei nachlos. And included in this mitzvah, this is a machlokas we've shown him, the Rambam counts one mitzvah, including Bechar Notel Pishnayim. The Rambam says that is a detail of the mitzvah of Yerusha. You don't count it as a separate mitzvah like the Ramban does. The Ramban counts it as a separate mitzvah, one din of Yerusha and one din of Pishnayim. So that is the shita of the Rambam. Explains the mitzvah Hamelach. The ein bazeh shum kiyim hamitzvah im manchilo. The ein kan bittel aseim eino manchilo. El dini nachlos hu denimne. Dinim of nachlos. Doesn't say shetzivanu Lahanchil esbanav. That's not the language that the Rambam uses. There are many times that the Rambam counts as a mitzvah, dinei nachlis, like the Rambam counts dinei toin v'nitan. There's no mitzvah on a person to be claimed or to be claimed from in Beis Din. Dinei nachlis, dinei ganav, dinei, you know, all the different halachas. Dinei could be edus. That already is unclear. But that's the Rambam's lashon, and that's the Sefer Chinuch also in mitzvah number 400, mitzvah Taf, ladun bedine nachlas. That is the Rambam. But as I mentioned, the Ramban in his los assays, he is on. He counts it as a separate assay and a los assay, and he counts it also as a separate mitzvah to be manchil the bechor. The shaila is what is the lundis, both in terms of counting Bechor separately, and also there are some Rishonim that formulate Nachlis in terms of a personal mitzvah. What exactly is the Yesod Hadid? So explain the mitzvah Samelech. Umavur mikolzeh. Just reading part of it. De dina de pishnayim shabachor notel eino meyucha lehilchus nachla elachidish dinhu bibachor. The chol she notel bein shuv b'makom kam tachtav o behilchas adnazir bein behilchas nachla laolam notel lebishnayim v'chulu. Continues. What is nachla? Does nachla mean, like we said, that it goes from the manchil to the nochel, or is it that the nochel somehow steps into the shoes of the manchil? It doesn't go, it doesn't, the property doesn't move, so to speak, it's the person that moves. It's the nochel, it's the yorish, the inheritor that moves into the shoes. So the Ramban might think, well, that's the difference between regular Yerusha and Pishnayim. Why does the Bechor get Pishnayim? It could be because he's becoming the father. He's becoming the one that's in charge, and therefore that's why he might have a difference between the other Yarshim. What if it just works as regular Dina Yerusha? It's hard to have the same mechanism have different amounts to different recipients. So if the Ramban counts it separately, it might be because conceptually it's working differently. By a Bechor, he's moving up. By everyone else, the Yerusha is moving down. Right? Conceptually, it's different, and that's why you might count it separately. That also might affect the Machlokes Rishonim, whether a Bechor can be Mochel on his Pishnayim. So Machlokes also in Miseches Bava Basra. Im din ze b'chelik b'chor l'chud hu denomar, o gam b'chelik pashut, yachol lomar eden oto v'eden nosei. The b'chor, it seems like the Rishonim say he can be, but what about the chelik pashut? Can he say eni notel v'eni nosein? So that, again, connected do you say are the two mechanisms of regular Yerusha versus Bechor or not? That is the a discussion of Yerusha. But with all that as background, now we get to the Yerusha of the husband from the wife, which is what our Mishnah is talking about. So there you might have a totally different type of Yerusha. Not going down, not stepping into the shoes. Rav Schechter explains in Eretz HaTzvi and Siman Lamed Aleph, together Yerusha Sabal, Eino Shave Klal, Adin Yerusha Da Alma. Right, this is something totally different. It's the zchuyo, it's one of the zchuyos of the husband. The husband has a lot of zchuyos and a lot of chiyuvim, and this is one of the zchuyos. It's not unique in terms of Yerusha. The Indian Yerusha Zabal Hainu, Das Chusim, She Yeshlo Lahabal Benichse Ishto Bechayeha, Nigmarim Vinishlamim Haim, Lachermosa Liosam Kinyanim Gemurim. The husband has certain rights during the lifetime, and those rights are mushlam, are completed after she dies. The Kinyan is completed. And that's why the Halacha is, or first he explains, De'eno karav lo mimishpachat av. Obviously, there's no blood relation between the husband and the wife. V'av din kara svira le'ed rashbam delesa. Also, it's hard to say that the husband steps into the shoes of the wife. It's easier to say that by a son to the father. Right? Bra kara davua. It's hard to say that the husband steps into the shoes of the wife. The dafka haben kam tachas avivu bimkomo, ve'en habal kam tachas ishto bimkomo. It's harder to say that. That's why Baal Yoris Zishto is unique in terms of how it works. And therefore, explains Rav Schechter, V'chei nicha nami dina d'ra'ui. That's why, also, if the wife doesn't have it yet, and it only is ra'ui, it only comes after she dies, that's why it'll be harder for the husband to get it, because in Lamdis, the husband's Yerusha is seen as a completion of kinyanim that he already had during the lifetime. Because it has to do with marriage. It's a function of the marriage, not a function of a blood relation. It's a function of the marriage. So it had to start during the marriage in order for it to be hushlam. If he doesn't have the rights to it beforehand, pshita. Okay, there's a lot of differences that he talks about there. We're not going to get into that now. In terms of differences between Baal Yoris Ezishto and the other Dine Yerusha, but that's an important makar. But again, that is all relating to this last line. Machlokas Tanoim, Rishim Gamliel, and the Tanakama, whether the husband could say, I don't have any dinu dvarim b'chayechu v'moseich, and then the Tanakama says it works. And Rishim Gamliel says, it does not work. One final point, and that is Rabbi Kiva Eger has the Ha'ara here. An important answer to a question that he has. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger on this line of Rishim Gamliel, he says, V'kasha, l'man da'amar b'vava basra, t'bekani at v'chamar lo kana klal. We have a principle that if you try to make a kinyan, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, and half of it doesn't work, then the whole thing falls apart. Kini at v'chamar, you and your donkey should be kona. Donkey's not being kona anything. Right? So the Gemara there discusses that if part of your kinyan falls apart, so then the whole kinyan falls apart. So maybe here too, if the husband says to the wife, I don't have anything to do with you, b'chayechu v'mosech, shouldn't we say there that just like the tzad Yerusha doesn't work, remember there are three things he's trying to get out of. So just like he can't get out of the Yerusha elements, maybe even the paras he should still have rights for. Maybe even the veto power for the sale. Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, but it sounds like from the Mishnah that they work separately. Only Dine Yerusha. He's not going to be able to get the Yerusha afterward. He's going to be able to get the Yerusha because that falls apart, but the other Dinim still kick in. Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger why. So he says, the key with the batel le'inyin b'moseh, he's batel kulo. The whole thing should be batel. Answer, one line. The efshar, de siluk adif bazeh, kamo de adif le'inyin davar shalo bala olam. Whoa. What's he saying? He's not being kona anything here. He's being mesalik himself. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's possible that siluk works and is more effective than kinyan. Even in a place where you try to be kona or makna something, so that might not work. But what's siluk? Siluk just means removing myself. That might be easier to be chal in certain cases and have different rules. If I'm trying to be mesalik myself from three things and one doesn't work, it could be the other two work. Because it's not a kinyan where everything is held together within the kinyan. It's a siluk, he says, kimo, just like a davar shelo bala olam. Just like where you cannot be kone according to many tanam, a davar shelo bala olam, if something that's not in the world yet, but maybe you could be masalik yourself, as we'll see in the Gemara. Siluk sometimes could work, even if kinyan cannot. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's comment right here on the Mishnah. Even if you want to say that kinyan shebatal mechza batal kula, siluk shebatal mechza lo batal kula, if you try to remove yourself. And siluk comes up in various contexts. Maybe hefker is a siluk. The stipler in Maseches Sanhedrin talks about mechila. Is mechila a kinyan or a siluk? You owe me money, and I say, no, what? Keep it. You don't have to pay me back. It's okay. So how does that work conceptually? Does that mean, like I would have thought, that you owe me money, and I say, keep it. Don't give me the money. So it was never my money. Or there is some evidence that really mechila is, and that's what we would call siluk. I'm removing my obligation that you owe me money and you keep it. Others say, no, maybe it's a hakna. It's as if you gave me the money and I'm giving it back to you. So that would be different. But those are the two ways that he understands it. But siluk might be different than hakna, and that's the important line of Rabbi Kiva Eger right here. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara. Tani de Rabbi Chiya ha'omer le'ishto. Rabbi Chiya, in his version of the Mishnah, he didn't have Hakosev L'Ishto. He had a Omer L'Ishto. Okay, that's the comment. The Ra'ah here discusses what the significance of that is. We're going to continue, though. V'chikasev L'Hachi Mayhavi. So ask the Gemara. One second. The fact that he wrote this, back to the first case of the Mishnah. He writes this, I'm not going to have any complaints to you. Why should that have any effect? We're going to look elsewhere and see the language of Dinu Dvarim is meaningless. Meaningless. V'ha Tanya. The Brisa says, if somebody says to their friend, Rashi quotes here, as other Rishonim do, we're talking about a sade of shutfin, a sade belonging to partners, and one of them says to the to the partner the following lashon. Homer lachaveru dinu dvarim ain li al sa dezu. I don't have any claim on this field. The ain li asik ba. I don't have any asik in it. The yada misu lekasi mena. I'm removing my hands from it. Lo amar klum. In all these cases, it's a meaningless lashon. What does it mean? Rashi says ain kan lashon matana. If you want to give something to somebody, you have to use a lashon of giving. Here, it's yours. Here, I want to give this to you. Some lashon, if you just say, if you own something with somebody, and you say, I don't have a claim. So, what does that mean? That doesn't work in Hilchus Dine Mominus. So, the Gemara here is comparing Dine Mominus with Dine Ksuba, right? You might be machalik between them, right? As we know, every time the Gemara puts together two areas of halacha, you have to say, are there the same rules in the two areas? Yes, the Tosefta in Sanhedrin says, Kol HaTorah Kula Inyan Echad. All of Torah is in general one Inyan, but you always have to wonder. But here the Gemara doesn't seem to be bothered. It seems to be just talking about the Lashon. So again, if it does not work by a field of partnership, why should it work here by the husband and the wife? Tosfos points out that it does work in one other case. Tosfos in Ve'ein Li Esek Ba. Tosfos says, V'im Tomar, if you look in Perakah Sholeach and Meseches Gittin, if somebody is selling their Eved, or writes to their Eved, this type of lashon, it does work. Ein Li Esek Ba. Somebody has an Eved, he says, Ein Li Esek Ba, he's Kona himself. So what do you mean? It does work. So Tosfos says, no, there it's easier. There's a difference between an Eved and a Sadeh. V'nira l'Rashba, says Tosfos, de'ainli, obviously this is not the Rashba, this is one of the Balei HaTosfos, de'ainli esek b'cha, havi kamosha omer lo hare atzla atzmecha. By Eved, it's worse and better, but it's different, right? It's just like he said, you're to yourself. Hilkoch gabe Eved, she'yochol lezakos ba'atzmo, kani, avosade ech yizke ba'atzmo. It's easier for an Eved who's basically trying to be Kona himself. And every time there's a Lashon, he grabs his own independence. So it might work by an Eved, it doesn't work by a Sadeh. But the Gemara is comparing the case of the Sadeh to the case of the husband and the wife's properties. So that's the question. Why in our Mishnah does it work, and over there it does not work? Answers the Gemara. Back to the Gemara. Ami de Rabbi Yanai, Bikosev La Ve'oda Arusa. When he writes it to her, they're not married yet. So it's preventative here. It's not a case where he has it already and he's trying to get rid of it. It is preventative. And it's easier to prevent something than to remove something. Right? That is the assumption. Bekosev lava oda arusa. He writes it when she is already in arusa, or when she is only in arusa. Kidrav kahana, damrav kahana, nachla haba la adam imakom acher, a nachla that comes to someone from somewhere else, meaning he doesn't have it yet, adem masna alea shalo yirashena. He could prevent it from being becoming his. Ukidarava, you got to put all these three together. It's a case of Arison, and like the person who says that preventative works, and like the person who says that if you have a takana for your benefit, you could be mochal on that takana. Ukidarava to ama rava haomer efshi batakanas chamim kagonzu. If somebody says, I don't want this takanas chachamim that was made for my benefit, shomin lo. We do listen to him. Mike Gonzu, what is this? What is an example of this? Kid Rav Huna Marav, the Omar Rav Huna Marav, Yechola Isha Shatomer Labayla, Eini Nizonis Veini Osa. As we've had before, a husband could be told by the wife. The wife could say, "I'm not interested in your mizonos, and I'm going to keep my ma'isiyah yadayim because it's for her benefit." So that's why she could say that. So here too, the husband has rights of the peros. So he could prevent, before it gets off the ground, as Rav Kahana says, right, Masta Allah Shalom Yerushani, he's allowed to do that. That's why it works, period. Just two more lines, says the Gemara Yahakya Filim Nesuanami. So if it works, then he's allowed to do that, to get out of the Takana. So why can't it work even after they're married? Why only preventative, Erisin? What about even Nesua? So the Gemara then says, no, then they're too connected. Amar Abaya Nesua Yadoki Yada. A nesua, his hand is like her hand. I mean, they're the same halachic bank account, the same halachic essence, and therefore they can't get out of it. Right? Rashi says on the fifth medium line, "V'hariyu kishutaf bahen, v'kibat shanachasim shelo tzarach lashon matana vein mol ba lashon udinu dvarim." Once you're a real shutaf by nisuin, then you can't just have this ainli esekba. And Rava Amar, a little different, yada adifim miyada. He even has more rights, in a certain sense. What's the difference for us in terms of yado ki yada, or greater than yada? So Gemara says nothing to do with us here. Nafkamino shemeres yavam. So there's a case over there where we head back in Yavamis, Rashi quotes in Daf Lamed Ches, in terms of what difference does it make, whether it's yado ki yada or adifa miyada, but we're not going to get into that right now. Okay, a couple of important points on this discussion. So the language said in the answer was, or even in the question, was that when somebody says to a shutaf, ainli esek b'cha, so that does not work. And the Ritva says here, read you the Ritva in the question, ha'omer l'chadeir of a kamash malan. The chiddush of that line of, if we are partners in a field, I cannot tell you that I am removing myself. That's not good enough to remove myself. The kamash malon to afalpi shuhu shutafimo v'shayach begufa shel sadeh lo mistalik haim yischusei b'hai lishna. You still cannot remove your schus in this lashon. Meaning, if you own something, you can't just like decide for it not to be yours unless you do something halachically to remove it. Right, in halacha, we don't just go by desires and ritzonos. Yeah, I'm not interested in it. So it's still yours halachically. Right, you have to do something. So that's the chiddush of this line. If you're a shutaf, says the Ritva, you can't just remove yourself unless you have some type of mechanism. Right, somebody else wouldn't own it if you want to give it to them with this lashon. If I have something of mine and I say, yeah, I'm not really interested in this anymore, that gives it to you? No. Maybe that makes it hefker. Maybe, but it doesn't give it to you, and therefore that's what the Ritva says. And he continues and says, "The Masdisan Kisha Omer Kain Belashin Sila." That's exactly what our Mishnah is talking about. Aval Kisha Omer Kain Belashin Hoda'a Pshita Demahani. If you would be mode, if you would say, "Well, this is now yours," that would work. That would work. Yeah, Vav Kisha Omer Kain Belashin Zestam Velo Gila Daito and Belashin Hakna Zochu Midin Hoda Kivin Shepshuto Shalashin Mash Belashin Hoda. Language of a Hoda would work. Being mode it to you, you don't need the Lashin exactly of a Hoda. The post can discuss this. The Sharam Sharon Balacha in Chelek Dalid discusses this in the context of Avelus and Aninus. Right? There is a halacha. I'll read it to you from the Kisra Shulchan Aruch because I have it here. Says the Kisra Shulchan Aruch, what are the halachas of Aninus? Right? Avelus is even more clear sometimes, but Aninus, before burial takes place, what is one allowed to do? What is one not allowed to do? Kolzman Shlo Nikmar Hameis Eino Chol Eitz Min Alav. He does not remove his shoes. Right? Avelus is all consistent. He's an Avel, and these are halachas of an Avel. An Onain is a little trickier. He's also to do mitzvahs, as we know, we paskin, but he does not remove his shoes yet. Eino cholis min olav. Umutur latzeis bibesel, letzarach emes. And he could be out of his house. Aval osur leshevo lishen al kisei omita. The kol shekein sheosur betashvish emita. V'osur birachitza, v'sicha, v'simcha, v'she'ela shalom, v'tisporis v'talmud Torah. But many other halachas kick in already in the time of Aninus, in terms of showering, in terms of haircuts, in terms of learning. That all applies b'shas Aninus. And then the last line in the sif, v'osur bimalacha. Afilu al yedei achirim, v'afilu bedaver ha'avid, u'behefsid gadol yaseh she'elas chacham. That's the Kisra Shulchan Aruch. There's an Isra Malacha. So you know, during Avelus, there's an Isra Malacha of an Avel. What about Aninus? So the post can discuss, fine, an Avel can't do it. But could he have some Ashliach do Malacha for him? What if there's a partnership? What if an Avel owns a store? An Onain owns a store. Is he allowed to let somebody else run the store? Is he allowed to make money through that store? There's an Isra Malacha. There's an Isra Malacha. I usually say, I'm not allowed to do it. Nobody's allowed to do it for me. Chalamoed, and other times when there's an Isra Malacha, when there's a minhag of an Isra Malacha, right, Purim and Tisha B'Av, right, so, you know, I'm not supposed to do it, and nobody else is supposed to do it for me. So there's an ancient custom quoted in the postgame, which is what used to be much more common when people had small businesses, and it was clear, if you see a store open, you know this is Reuven's business. So they used to, or we used to selling the chametz, they used to sell the, or remove their ownership of the business for the week of Avelus. And they use one of these lashonas. That's why he talks about it here. He says, "Vasur lios." Now we're talking the Shem Sein of Balacha here. Vasur lios chanos chanuso psucha afilu kshiba shudfis v'imuter ba'aninuso limkar chanuso derech harama kedei sheyepur pasuach b'meshach ha'avelus. Look in the Chasam Sofer. Look in the other. All this was a very common question in the days of old when there were small businesses. Now we work for a big, huge firm, so you take off for a week, and they understand you're in mourning. You know, you're still going to get paid for it. You're still good, but you're not doing work. You're going to get a lump sum for the year, for the month. But if you have your own private business, so if you could close down, fine. But what if not? What if you have a two-man show, right? And you share it. So that was much more common in those days. Again, if people still have it today. So he quotes the Chasam Sofer, the apia shitas she'osrim onin b'malacha hu adin da'asar b'mischar u'memeila asar limkar chanuso. Ela she'ishli matzchus ala matirin. The apia rov lo yuchlu lehispatel mischar asam kol meshach yimei avelus. Alkein bachru lohem harab miyuto. The lesser of two evils. Right? If they're not going to go to work, you don't want them to go to work, so let him sell a derech harama. Levatel ksas b'shas aninus, and during b'shas aninus, they use one of these lashonos, ein li asek, in this asek. Right, these types of lashonos. Te'ika b'lavach, he plucked him, ze aser b'aninus, v'somchen amekel be'avel. V'chula, and he continues that, but that is the a context where this comes up, where somebody tries to remove themselves from the financial situation that they are in. If you look in the morning on Alacha Sefer of that was put out. So again, he quotes there on page 205, he quotes this discussion. In practice, some communities have adopted the following custom. If a member of a partnership becomes a mourner, he removes himself from the partnership before the burial. Removes himself. Quotes this from the Gilyon Marsha on Shulchan Aruch. This is accomplished by a transaction known as Kinyan Sudar, in the presence of a representative of the Bezdin. This makes it public that if the mourner partner has no share in the profits during his shiva, then the non-mourning partners may open the store, since there is no further risk of giving a false impression. Marasayin. Okay, so that is the place where it comes up, this type of lashon. The Ron here discusses, so what's the answer? Ian, it's Don B'Shas Arison. Could a Yoresh do that too? Could a Yoresh, a real Yoresh, not just the Baal B'Ishto by Arison, but could a Yoresh do that? So the Ron says no. A Yoresh, right, not Baal Yoresh is Ishto. Another example, the difference between a husband and a wife and a Yoresh cannot do that. Says the Ron right here, Daf Mem Alef Amud Alef Amud Daf Yarif, V'le'afuke Yerushas Aviv, T'kiven Sheroi L'Yarsho B'Kol Shah, Hare Ku Ke'ilu Zachaba, Le'inyan D'lo Sagi B'Siluk. A Yoresh's hand on the possessions is stronger than the husband's hands on the possessions. B'shas Arison. Once they're married, then maybe not. But B'shas Arison, not. Even though they don't have it yet, but a Yoresh, it's as if. Ela obemecher obematana. You want to give it away? You got to use a really strong lashon. Mecher obematana. V'efshar shahari lo zacha b'alagamrei. But you can't sell it yet because it's not yours yet. But you would have to use such a strong lashon to be able to do it. So you're stuck. That's why a yoresh can't do it. And that's why a yoresh, these laws don't apply to a yoresh in this case. One final question, and then we will continue. And that is, could he? What if he's going out with a girl? It's before Arison. Does this lashon work before Arison? Right, during Arison, fine. But is that too early? There's no financial connection. So the Rashba says it does not work before Arison. Can't work before Arison, right? There's no financial connection between them, and therefore, says the Rashba. And then they talk about, what about civil, what we call engagement, shiduchin. Does that do anything? Does a financial agreement between the parents, but does that do anything financially? So that is discussed by the Achronim here, but the Rashba gets the ball rolling and says it has to do v'chein dafka arusa b'shas erisin aval kodim erisin mamish lo'asa v'lo klum shibosa l'fif shibosa shoa ein lo shaychus klal b'nechasim. He has no shaychus halachically aval ba'od arusa yish lo ksas shaychus b'nechasim she'erisin al das nisu en hein. Right, erisin we know is the first stage of a Jewish marriage, not engagement, and therefore Arison would have some type of effect. Okay, we'll continue, and then if there's time, we'll get back to more Arison Yisuin discussions. Says the Gemara Yibayluhu, four lines for the bottom. Kanu miyadu mahu. What if it uses the slashon of dinu dvarim? What are we asking on? Rashi says we're asking on the Braisa, not on the Mishnah. Because the Braisa is the context where the Well, let's read the Rashi. Third to last skinny line in Rashi. Abraisa de ha'omer l'chaveiro dinu dvarim ein li asa dezu ka'i. This question of what if you do a Kenyan Sudar? What if you did a Chalipin? Does that help? What does that mean? So that question is only on the Braisa. Avala masnisa lo mahanya Kenyan liapos kocha. But on the Mishnah, it doesn't make a difference. The Kenyan Suda does not help. Why? To haba amira balashon matana sagi listaluke afila migufish alkarka. If he would have explicated, what's the Mishnah's problem? He didn't explicate which of the three elements he meant to remove himself. So it's not a language problem as much as he's just unclear. But here in the Braisa, it's a language problem. Lav mishum aval, right? The time of the bastisa damar harizel chaperus lav mishum griusa de lashon el mishum de lo parish about the solik nafshi. Rashi says, but in the Braisa, it's a language problem. So if you strengthen what you just did, so did that strengthen nothing, or did that strengthen? If you strengthen something, it must have been going on the something that is substantive and meaningful. Let's see the Gemara's question now. Ibai lo kano miaduma. What do we say if you made a kinyan sudar on this case of the Braisa, where, again, you have two partners, one of them wants to remove himself, he says, Ainli Asek Pacha. And we said that's not really good. But what if you did a Kenyan Suter? Does that help? Machlokes. Amar of Yosef, Midinu Dvarim Kanu Miyado. He made a Kenyan on the Dinu Dvarim, on that language. And just like that language is meaningless, so too the Kenyan is meaningless, because you just strengthen nothing. Rav Nachman Amar, no. Migufe Shalkarko Kanu Miyado. If you made a Kenyan Suter, that means you're serious. And if that means you're serious, it must be more powerful than just the language that you said, and therefore we will say it is meaningful. And this fits in very well with what we discussed a few weeks ago about the nature of Kenyan Chalipin, that it's a Das Kenyan without a Maisa Kenyan. It's a symbolic Kenyan. It's a Kenyan that just concretizes your Das, shows you're serious. That's why you use this when you make a Shliach, you use this when you accept responsibility. The Chassan does a Kenyan Sudar at the Chassan's Tish. What is he being Kona? He's accepting responsibility. Kenyan is all about Gemira's Das. So that's what's going on here, says Rav Nachman. If you do a Kenyan Suda, that shows you're serious. How can you say you're serious about nothing? So that's why he says, Migufish al Karka, Kono Miyado. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, Midit Mistavra, Milsad Rav Yosef. I think Rav Yosef makes sense, where he says it's meaningless, Be'orer, if he complains about it right away. When the partner's like, okay, it's mine, and the other guy says right away, no. Let's talk about this. So if he complains about it right away, then he says Rav Yosef is correct, that he must not have meant anything by it. Alvo be'omed, but if he let it go, if he stood, if he didn't complain right away, migufish al karko kono miyado. It must be then that everybody would agree that he was serious, and he's giving him something in the guf of the karka. Amar ameimar, hilchas migufish al karko kono miyado. That's what ameimar says. It works. Amar le ravashi la meimar. Well, how far do you mean? But orer is that even if he complained about it right away, or ba'omer is only if he let it stand. Lamay nafka mina l'kedir Rav Yosef. Well, that's the shiloh. Rav Yosef just said, it's meaningless even with a kinyan sudar. So, Amar le lo shamili, klomar lo svirali. He says, I don't hold of it. Meaning, I hold across the board. It's migufa shokarka kono miyado. Once you do the kinyan sudar, then it has significance. And that is what the Ritva points out that we hold. Getting back to the Mishnah, if what he says is meaningless, right? He writes, Ainli Asek Bacha, he gets all of his rights. So what is it meaningful for? So what did the Gemara say? Oh, veto power. He loses his veto power. Says the Gemara, Vitemole, why can't she say to him, Mikol Milus Likas Nafshach? You have removed yourself from everything. You have three rights, so your Lashon removes yourself from all three. Why can't she claim that? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya, no. Yad Balashtar Ala Tachtona. She's coming, right, with a shtar. What does that mean? The Beis Din gives him the three, this is what Rashi says, the Beis Din gives him three rights. He could eat peros, he could yarshin her, and he could have veto power. And now she's coming and saying, well, I have a shtar that he said, he's mevater. So the rule is always, whenever a shtar, you're not sure what a shtar means, you always go by the least. Like, let's say there's a shtar that says, I owe you shkolim. Doesn't say how many shkolim. So you know what? I owe you two shkolim. Why? Because that is the minimum. So here too, you go by the minimum. And that is why it is only the one. And what does the Mishnah say? It's only the veto power. So now the Gemara says, why is that the minimum? We know there are three. You know, by numbers, you know what's minimum. Two, three, four. You know what the minimum is. But here there's three different rights. So why is the veto power, if she sells it, that's considered the minimum. Why is that less than the other two? Ve'ema mipere. Maybe no. Maybe he still has veto power, and what he has removed him from himself is peros. He's removed himself from the right to eat peros. Interesting. One second. We noted earlier, wasn't this a takana of Usha? So, is this what the Mishnah is referring to? Says the Rashba. It must be that it was around even before the takana of Usha. And Usha just added on and bolstered it. But it was, he quotes the Ravid. The after the takanas Usha mikami Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina tiknua ubimei Mishnah seinu. It was ready much earlier. That's how the Gemara is dealing with that. Ela bebnei shalo haisa mifureshes, but Mishnah seinu v'haya efshel afaris Mishnah seinu. Alternatively, that's why Usha explicated it. But really, it could be that the halacha, the takana, was ready earlier. So says the Gemara. Maybe the Baal removed himself from that. Amar Abaya, no botzina tamikra. A person would rather have a small pumpkin today than a big pumpkin in a month from now. Meaning, present rights are always stronger. So when a person says, I'm a vater on something, we assume he's keeping his present rights of eating the peros, he's being a vater on something in the future. Meaning, if she tries to sell it. V'yemami Yerusha. So, okay, there are two things in the future. If she dies or if she sells it. So why do we say he's only being mevater on the sale? Amar Abaya, Misa, Shchicha, Mechira lo Shchicha. It's more common for her to die. Why? Than to sell it. Tosva says, Shema Mishum Rov Pa'amim Istachnas Baleda. Well, childbirth. It's common. It was very dangerous in those days, Rachman al-Itzlan. Maybe that's why. The Ritva says, no, a little differently. What, it's common for women to die? No, it's more common for a woman to die than to try to sell her property. That's the point. Women don't generally sell their nechse malug. That's what is unclear here. V'chimisalik inish nafshe mimilsa de lo shchicha. When a person has something in mind, he has in mind what's common. Mimilsa de shchicha lo misalik inish nafshe. He's misalik himself from something that's not shchiyach. So that's why it's considered the least of the three. One more line. Ravashi amar. You know why we say it has to do with the sale? Because what's his lashon? Binachasayich. So we're medayik v'lo b'peirosayhen. He's removing himself from her property, but not from the peiros. B'nachasayik v'lo lachar misa. So that's another reason. Ravashi says it's not a svar, it's based on the lashon. We're medayik it from the lashon. The Tshuvas Harash has a case here discussing shtar shekasev blow. Ploni hikna l'ploni litein lo chamisha asar zehuvim achar pesach. What if Ruvein says to Shimon, I'm going to give you 15 gold coins after Pesach. He didn't say how long after Pesach. He didn't say when after Pesach. V'lo kasava achra Pesach habar rishon. And he didn't even say which Pesach. This Pesach, maybe next year Pesach. He just said, I'm going to give you 15 zehuvim after Pesach. So what does that mean? V'nistapakta imagvinon lemiyad achra Pesach harishon. Says the Rush, and you had a question, whether he has to pay right after the first Pesach. O nomar yad balashtar ala tachtona. Or do you say, no, prove to me which Pesach did I mean, the Shema, and maybe, listen to this, the Shema Acher HaPesach HaAcheron Shel Chamesha Salafim V'Tzadi Tesla B'Riasa Olam. And maybe it's the Pesach of the last Pesach in the history of the world. I say after Pesach. Maybe it means, as the Gemara says elsewhere, the world's going to be 6,000 years long, it's Pesach 5,999. The Pesach in that year, and until we get there, and if we don't live that long, so... You know, sorry, I don't have to give it to you. Yad balashtar ala tachtona, says the Rush. Come on. Come on. So you mean the Pesach in 400 years from now? And a person never knows when they're going to die. So says the Rush. Da, de lo amrinon yad balashtar ala tachtona, elahecha de'en ashtar nifsad lagamre. You only say this principle when it means it's meaningful in something. Meaning, so you're going to get the least, not that you're going to get zero. Here, so you pick the least, the smallest right. V'chein kol kayotze b'zeh b'gemara. Sh'ana omrim yad balashtar la tachtona, haynum b'masha anu megarin. Koach yad balashtar, b'masha lo nizbar, yafe in yinashtar, v'yish lefarsho ashe drachim, anu mefarshino so l'chobas balashtar. You say, to against the balashtar, u'b'vachelo yafzer ashtar l'gamre. Kimo b'nidon zeh, sh'in tefarshenu sof sheshes alafim, az lomen eftav shtar klal. Why do you even write the star? If you mean in the year 5,999. Elavadai umdina demuchach. There's some zman katsuv. So it means bestama after the first Pesach. But now you're not sure. Does it mean right after Pesach? Does it mean a week after Pesach? After Pesach is usually Svira. So maybe it means it has to be in the first half of Svira. So that is what is unclear. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch now, this is a collector's item. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch now, Simin Choshe Mishpat, Simin Mem Gimel, Os Chavtes. The end of Simin Mem Gimel. Here we go. V'im Kosev Bishtar Ad Achar HaPesach. If it says in the Shtar, until after Pesach. So then how long do you have? Hainu Ad She'yavru Rov HaYamim Shebein Pesach La'atzeres. It means until most of the days have passed between Pesach and Shavuos. That's what you have. And then there's parentheses. Ad kan yom chaf aleph. End parentheses. What in the world does that mean? Ad kan yom chaf aleph. Says the Sma. And all the, some of the Mefarshim, the Shachar talks about, what do you mean? Rover the days until is not 21, right? There's 50 days. Right, so it's 26 it should be. What do you mean 21? Why is it 21? So it's in parentheses. You don't know what it's talking about here. So if you look in the Sma says that the Shulchan Aruch's plan when he wrote his Sefer was to go through the Shulchan Aruch every month. That was his every month. And in old Shulchan Aruchs you have split up in 30 days. Just to give you an example, day one is Aruch Chaim, Simen Aleph through Simen Peches. That's day number one, the end of Hilchos Kriya Shema. And he says, if you look in old Shulchan Aruch, it says, Ad Kan Yom Aleph. So this had nothing to do with what we're talking about. So the editors were confused. They thought it was something about a number, and therefore, that's why it's in parentheses. What is it talking? Ad Yom Chaf Aleph. It's Chaf Chafav. But this was up till, so you're up to Choshe Mishpat Mem Gimel, that was day 21. You're almost finished. Right, that was finished. But you think about it, that's a lot of Shulchan Aruch every day. But if you don't do any of the Mefarshim, you just read the Shulchan Aruch, 88 simanim per day. I mean, but that's what this phrase looks like. It's in the middle of nowhere. So that's what the Sma says right here. He says, Pashutu she'ein ze inyan lakan. Nothing to do with what we're talking about. El shamachaber chile kol adal turim me'ashulchan aruch al lamid chalakim v'kavanaso ha'yesha yilmadu v'yachzirgu chelek aleph b'chol yom b'ofan she'b'chol yom yilmadu v'yachzir v'yebaki b'chol dal aturim k'mo shekasev agdam aso l'shulchan aruch v'zeo shekasev kan ad kan yom chaf aleph u'betfus kadmon divizhnitz Ra'isi dinitfisu bo hamikomos kalos kol chelki shloshim yom ubekan kalach elik hachaf aleph umidelo nitfisu kalos deshara chalakim besvarim shebiyadenu because somehow for some reason this line stuck and all the other ones were removed. The close chelik zed nitfas nirish hakavanas hamatfis hoya shu mitzuref umashikas olivneze rov yamim shepesach latzeref sof chaf aleph yom lefize tevis kan uto sofer v'tzorach liot ad yom chaf aleph v'shibushu be'enai dimkei minyan alam whatever he continues. But that's the Sma who gives us that insight. Okay, let's just run through the next few lines. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo'olcham U'ochol Peire Peiros. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's all his unless he uses the Lashon of Peire Peiros Ad Olam. So ask the Gemara, what's the double Lashon? Tana Rabbanan. Eloin Peiros Ve'elohin Peire Peiros. First he says, what is it? Hechnisa lo karkavasta Peiros Harehein Peiros. Machar Peiros V'lokamim karkavasta Peiros. If he sells fruit, buys land, and that produces more fruit. Harein peire peiros. Iboy luhu. L'Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda used a very verbose lashon. Peire peiros ad olam. So peire peiros dafka, odilma ad olam dafka, odilma travayu dafka. What's the important part of Reb Yehuda's lashon? Fruit of fruit? Forever? Or both? Intim salomar peire peiros dafka. If you say that, the dafka lashon ad olam lamali. So why would it say ad olam if you don't need it? Hakamashmalan kivan de kasav la peire peiros kiman de kasav ad olam dami. The chiddush is if you say peire peiros, it's as if it says ad olam. V'intim salomar ad olam dafka peire peiros lamali. Hakamashmalan avagav de kasav la peire peiros ikasav ad olam in ilolo. You had to write ad olam. V'intim salomar travayu dafka. If you say you need both of them, tarti lamali. Why? Tzricha di kasav la peire peiros lo. Because of lad olam, hava mina peire peiros udolo achil. The fruit of the fruit he can't eat. Aval peire de peire peiros achil. But the third generation fruit you can eat. Lahaki yisrich ad olam. That's what you might have needed ad olam. Because of lad olam, below because of la peire peiros, hava mina la olam a peiros koi. I might think the olam is only going on the first generation. Lahaki yisrich peire peiros. That's why you need peire peiros as well. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop here. But we'll continue here by the two dots in the coming days as we continue here in the ninth parak of Meseches Ksubis.